Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And even though we have now glided into the month of February, the New Year celebrations still go on in this divine hamlet. Well, it is not celebrating Jan 1st, 2014, the universal New Year according to the Gregorian calendar, but the Chinese New Year, which started on 23rd day of the 12th lunar month of the Chinese calendar. And this is going to last for 15 days. In fact, if you are someone who is connected to Prashantinilam, you actually practically celebrate New Year all the year through. Because soon after Chinese New Year in February, will come Telugu New Year in March, Ugadi. And then in April, you have Tamil New Year, you have Kerala New Year, Vishu. And then June marks the new academic year filled with fresh faces and exuberant mood. And soon will come Dasara and Diwali, the Gujarati New Year in October, November. And I guess as more and more communities come to Prashantinilam to celebrate their New Year in the Divine Presence, we will be celebrating New Year literally every month. Apparently Buddhists celebrate their New Year in December. And talking about Buddhists, there are in fact many Buddhist monks in Prashanti now, and the two-day celebration of Chinese New Year is on. For this Chinese, this year, the two-day celebration began yesterday, and this year is the year of the horse. For the Chinese, it is the year of the horse. Horse symbolizing power, agility, vitality and beauty. And the festivities in the Sai Kulwantal this evening and last evening were a glimpse of this positive energy, vitality and beauty. For the Chinese Sai devotees, this is the 17th Chinese New Year in the presence of Bhagwan in Prashantinilam. The first ever Chinese New Year happened in Bhagwan's presence in 1997, and from then on it has gathered momentum over the years. It is definitely one of the most colorful festivities in Prashantinilam, with its vibrant colors, that glowing red, that glistening yellow. And in this setting you had yesterday a lively offering of a bouquet of songs. Let me give you a glimpse of that celebration. That's how energetic were the melodies of the Chinese New Year. A glimpse of what happened yesterday. There were songs in Chinese, in English, in English Chinese, and even in Hindi and Sanskrit. And the program today, this evening, was another beautiful piece of children's choir followed by a lovely drama on Confucius. If you have missed listening or watching to this live on our website, you can do so even now. Just log on to radiosai.org and all the videos are there for you to watch at the time of your convenience. And when you visit our website, you will also see our recent most audio special, which we offered to Bhagwan last Thursday. It was the Martyrs' Day, the day in honor of the sacrifice of Mahatma Gandhi, one of the greatest apostles of truth and nonviolence the world has ever seen, who led millions of this country on its freedom march, sheerly and purely depending on his, as Bhagwan says, Atmabalam, not the strength of his intelligence or persuasive skills or PR skills or HR skills, but the strength of his spirit, the strength of his soul, the power of his soul. No wonder his personality continues to ignite the imagination of human consciousness time and again. Suddenly we would see a movie released demonstrating the power of his principles, and even though this film doesn't have the regular dose of conventional elements of fun and entertainment, it becomes a hit. Every now and then you would see someone emulating his ideals in some corner of the globe and spearheading an unprecedented revolution to bring relief to thousands. Every so often you would find great minds, intellectual giants and powerhouses of creativity marveling at the mettle of this little person in the lion cloth. Such is the power of truth and nonviolence. Such is the memory of someone who diligently adhered to these timeless values. In fact, in one discourse on August 15, 1985, Bhagwan even said, "Our students should be like Gandhi." He said that "dhi" in Gandhi refers to that dhi shakti. And he referred to the Gayatri Mantra and said, in Gayatri Mantra we chant, "Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat." That is the dhi. So in honor of the day of his passing on January 30th, last Thursday we offered to Bhagwan a new adaptation of the song that was a favorite of Gandhiji, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram. In fact, this is the song that was sung by Gandhiji and his followers as they walked during the 241-mile salt march to Dandi, famously known as the Dandi March. In case you have missed this audio special from the Radio Sai team, here it is. Relish it once again.
रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम ईश्वर अल्लाह तेरो नाम सबको सन्मति दो भगवान रघुपति राघव राजा पतित पावन सीताराम सीताराम जय सीताराम भज प्यारे मन सीताराम सीताराम जय सीताराम भज प्यारे मन सीताराम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम राम राम जय राजा राम 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 जय राजा 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 राम 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 जय राज
So that was the song, our special audio offering. And dear listeners, after we released this on our website, we have received so many emails from so many with loving words of encouragement. Miss Meera, who wrote back saying, just watched and listened to this beautiful video. We had a video accompanying, if you have seen our website. She said, what a wonderful experience, listening to the chorus of the innocent voices and the beautiful video of Bhagwan. Thank you so much for sharing this with the world. We are grateful to you indeed. Similarly, there was another youngster, Ganesh, who said, it was my grandfather who introduced me into observing a moment of silence at 10 a.m. on Jan 30th, when the siren is blown across the country to remember the Mahatma. The special article on this occasion has come at the right time. It was so inspiring. I liked the audio so much. It captivated me. And the video also moved me. This is a very, very beautiful presentation. Similarly, you had Dr. Arvind Akshan from Canada, who said the audio is excellent and so on. Like this, I can go on narrating to you so many beautiful words that have come from all over the world. And we really place all of this at the lotus feet of Bhagwan for the way He has guided us in making this offering to Him. So given that this audio has touched so many, I thought it would be nice to know what was the inspiration behind this composition and how did it all come together, resulting in such a beautiful offering. So I have requested some of the men behind this wonderful work to be with us tonight. Yes, so we will be listening to the story behind this song in a short while on this Thursday night. And after this conversation, we will go on to discover more about Mr. V. Kalyanam, the man who lived and worked with Gandhiji as his personal secretary during the crucial last 4 years of his life. We had the first part of this presentation last Thursday, and this one too has invited so many comments from all over the world. So we continue this awe-inspiring story tonight. So that is what is lined up for this beautiful Thursday night, live from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome back to Thursday Live, and welcome back to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And as I mentioned to you, it's time for the story behind the new audio offering, Raghupati Raghava, which you just heard. And as I told you, I have with me now my colleague Anirudh and brother Ravi Kumar, who works in Swami Super Speciality Hospital here, but always gladly willing to lend his magical voice to any of our special productions. And he's done that for this song too. So welcome, brothers Anirudh and Ravi Kumar, to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Vishu.
So Anirudh, tell us, what was the imagery in your mind when you, this idea dawned in your mind to make something for Bhagwan for the Martyrs Day?
Well, actually, we were planning to make something for the Republic Day.
Okay.
That's how the thought began. And then we had started, in fact, the preparations for making a Vande Mataram for the Republic Day. I think it is Swami's plan that, we thought we'll make it an audio-video presentation,
okay,
the Vande Mataram. So the video team, they are coming up with a very good video. So it will take some time for them to shoot and then stitch together and make it a beautiful presentation of both audio video.
Okay.
So I think listeners can wait till Independence Day.
Okay. So that's in the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then after 26th, 27th, we were thinking, oh yeah, a very special day is arriving, in the honor of all the soldiers and martyrs, especially beginning with our Mahatma Gandhi.
Yes.
So why not make some audio? Because always I have this, maybe it differs from person to person. The music element in anything, in a movie also, a movie without the background score is like, half the emotions are not conveyed.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't relate to the story exactly. The feelings, the mood, everything is given by the BGM behind the dialogues. So, I was thinking, so why not make something special which makes you remember all your soldiers who have sacrificed their lives, and then Mahatma Gandhiji, who is a man of virtues. So in that, in those lines I was thinking, either we can make Raghupati Raghava, which was his favorite bhajan he used to sing, or Vaishnava Janato, which is also a very famous popular song. Then, in fact, I just felt frankly that we'll have a very good version of Raghupati Raghava, with children and a master.
Okay, so that was set in your mind, that you wanted a master.
That is the idea. Of course, the idea is given by Swami.
Yes.
So, thinking in these lines, then I was thinking Brother Ravi Kumar will definitely give his voice for the master voice. And then, since it was a master-children concept, what I was thinking is that we'll have children chorus from the primary school. We had done this children chorus recording before for the Crazy for Krishna,
yes,
which was a special audio during Krishnashtami.
Yeah.
So since they sang really well and they have so much potential in them, so why not make use of them for a song that was just singing some Krishna, Krishna, something like that.
Yes.
So, but this was like, this is a song which they also know this song fully. And we had just one session with them, just the tune. And then they sang really well, full energy. We had 21 children in our studios.
Beautiful.
And very beautiful to see them smile, sing, and the way they sing, and their faces, their emotions, their pure innocent love to sing. And they felt really happy singing this offering to Swami.
Wonderful. And how was it, Brother Ravi Kumar? I know you have contributed to so many of our productions, and I think whenever we have requested you, I mean, at the drop of a hat, you have always come and have been, I mean, consented to participate in so many of our productions. So was it any different being part of this audio special?
Bishu, I must start by saying that it's always a pleasure to sing for anything in the Radio Science Studios. And more than a pleasure, I consider it a blessing to sing, because all the work that you do is around Swami. And what greater blessing than to participate in that. So it's a blessing first and a pleasure next. About Raghupati Raghava, in fact, Anirudh called me, like he said, on 27th, and he said, we are planning to record this. So what is the tune? We were trying to come to a common tune. He said, I have heard of some versions. Do you know some versions? So I just hummed out over the phone. He said, I'll try and record this over the phone. What is the common tune? Because that afternoon the kids were coming to sing it in the studio.
Okay.
And then I had my version, which was a little different from, I think, the original version. So anyway, finally Anirudh took a bit of this version, bit of what he heard on the internet and what he knew. And then I must say that finally I learnt the final version from the kids.
No, the kids sang actually what they are comfortable with. So they sang a little bit different from what is the original. So we just gave a...
But that was so sweet. And
absolutely.
You know, the first time I heard the kids singing that chorus, like he said, it was so pure and it was so...
So charming.
Yeah,
so
very
innocent,
charming.
And charming.
Yeah. Yes. And the whole idea of how Anirudh planned the whole thing, of somebody leading and then the children following, and then finally, I mean,
then singing together,
and in the end the children were in fact leading.
The Ram Ram Jai Raja Ram is the children will lead.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So once the tune is set, then the children will come forward. Yeah, we also know, like we will sing.
So
now then Ravi Kumar brother will join.
Amazing. I think I don't know how many really got that perspective.
Oh, yeah.
But I think now when you listen to it now with this perspective, like it's like an elder passing on the baton
to the next generation.
Like
Gandhiji, you know, leading the next generation along.
Yes.
He leads them, then he walks along with them, and then the children are ahead, you know, taking the country ahead.
That is a wonderful way of making this happen. You have that picture of Gandhiji, you know, always in leading, and there are millions following. That is such a common imagery of Gandhiji, a powerful imagery. And you see a musical adaptation of that, and set to a song which Gandhiji loved, and the song that Gandhiji used to do is Dandi March. He marched with this song. So it's really, I don't know if Anirudh has thought so much. You know, sometimes you think something, and by the time it comes out, it becomes really.
It was very, very inspired, I should say.
Yes.
And very calming to hear this song. Every time I hear this adaptation of what Anirudh has made the whole thing, it's very calming to me and very inspiring. Very inspiring. I never thought about Gandhiji as much, you know, as after listening to this version.
Wonderful. I think that's definitely a tribute to the song. If people get reminded of those timeless virtues that great man stood for, and I think we have in some ways of done our bit in spreading goodness in this world. Fantastic. So Anirudh, go on, tell us a little more about the instrumentation part.
Of course, it was not like that prayer song where you had that symphony kind of orchestra kind of thing. It is a simple tune. So I felt without disturbing, the tune itself is so nice, you know. So just people just remember by the tune. Raghupati Raghava. It's just very simple to remember. And the tune itself,
familiar
sets in your mind. So I felt that there is no need for any orchestration, like to come up from everything and then make people something, this was nice, that was nice.
Yeah.
So basically we had two instruments, which are Mohan Veena and sitar.
Yes.
And I must say about this Mohan Veena, Mohan Veena is played by one student. His name is Manikrishna. He is currently doing his MBA in our institute.
Okay.
And I must say that he picked up this instrument only last November.
Only last November?
Yeah, he purchased the instrument out of passion. He wanted to play the instrument. He wanted to just learn a new instrument. So with that thought, he began learning this instrument. And there was no guru from, physically he was not learning from any guru. So he was going on seeing the Pandit Vishwamohan Bhatt's videos, how he plays, and he has picked up the instrument, and now he's playing for every recording, and
this is unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, this is 3 months. I can't imagine.
Yeah,
3 months, can you master an instrument to come up with this level?
That effort and Swami's grace, you know, that really it is unbelievable.
And it's like Ekalavya story. We don't even have a guru. Oh my God. So there's so many mystical elements behind this composition.
Yeah. So that tone, I felt it is very rich, and it always gives a patriotic feel.
Yes.
The note itself, the tone itself is enough. It just takes you along somewhere, the Mohan Veena. And to add, sitar, we have C.G. Sai Prakash in our studios, who always comes and plays anytime.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, you had Ravi sir's voice.
Yeah, I must say that. And for his beautiful rendition with full of emotion, it added to the icing on the cake, actually.
Ravi brother, people will want to know, what is the secret? What is the secret behind Ravi sir's voice? How does he sing so beautifully? What would you like to say?
Bhisha, I must start by disagreeing with you. And then... But if you must insist on saying and that what you say has to be explained, then I would only say it is Swami's grace. I have done absolutely nothing. And I still don't do anything. It's just Swami. And like Anirudh was saying, that the tune is so simple, and all we have to do is, I think, try to manage to sing it on Shruti. I think if you get the basic tune right and sing it on Shruti, the beauty of the tune just takes the whole song along so beautifully.
Definitely.
And the Mohan Veena, the traditional sound of the Mohan Veena and sitar, and how he has used the, you know, the percussion he has used here and there so beautifully, you know, interspersed with a little bit of keyboard. It was really wonderful. In fact, talking about that theme, he was saying, initially Gandhiji is, you know, leading the crowd, then the crowd is together with Gandhiji, and then, you know, the children are taking over. So just before that part, the keyboard, you will see, you know, kind of the impression that the keyboard gives at that time is that there is something happening at that moment. Before that, Rama Rama Jaya happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It is like there's something happening.
The transition is
happening. Transition is happening, and then the people are going ahead. You know, I was just closing my eyes and visualizing that, including the keyboard.
Fantastic. Wonderful. And I think as Ravi brother, you said that it's just completely Swami's grace. I think beautiful things happen once we allow Bhagwan to take over us, and every time we do something, and if it is something that has inspired someone, then we definitely know that in some way that is the touch of the divine. Otherwise we would not be able to produce anything that is really productive and beneficial to society. So how does it feel, Anirudh and Ravi Kumar brother, when you listen to so many good words coming from all over the world, and how do you feel when you read all those emails, Anirudh?
All credit goes to Swami, because he is the one who gives us the inspiration. He starts the work actually, and then he takes over and he finishes it. So everything is His grace. Everything is from Him.
Wonderful. Yeah. I think that is the spirit.
And I request all listeners to kindly tell any feedback.
Yes.
We are open to take any feedback. So
critical
that,
feedback.
Yeah, critical even feedback also. So that next time we improve ourselves and do more offerings and please for me.
Try and see what more offering in a more better manner that we can offer to people. Is there anything in the pipeline? You mentioned one that is coming up, you said.
That's an interesting video presentation which the video team is already, they have started the work, I guess.
Okay.
It takes little time.
Yes.
So I'm also expecting from them.
Okay. So you don't know when the next inspiration is going to come and what and when the listeners are going to get the next offering. Wonderful. Thank you so much, brothers Anirudh and Ravi Kumar, for joining in for this program. And I think with all that you have said, we should listen to this song once again, because perhaps we'll be able to relate to it in a much more involved manner and sort of know how to derive inspiration from this,
and with the kind of imagery that we are trying to portray to what went on behind
Anirudh's
mind.
Yes. Yeah, so let's listen to it.
रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम ईश्वर अल्लाह तेरो नाम सबको सन्मति दो भगवान रघुपति राघव राजा पतित पावन सीताराम तारा
सीताराम भज प्यारे मन सीताराम सीताराम जय सीताराम भज प्यारे मन सीताराम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम
Most of you would have released listening to the song once again and perhaps appreciated it better now. I remember another email from a listener from South Africa who said, thank you so much for reminding me about Gandhi, who has done a lot for South Africa. There was Monica, Miss Monica from Germany, who said this audio and the article led me to read more about Gandhiji and get inspired from his life. Frankly, we are so happy that more and more people are looking at these values of truth, non-violence and peace seriously. In fact, as I mentioned last time, I had the chance to interact with someone who truly is an epitome of Gandhian values, and he is a devotee of Bhagwan too. He's come to Puttaparthi several times, but quietly. No one ever knew that he was here in Prashanthi Nilayam. He is Mr. V. Kalyanam, the man who has not only seen and served Gandhiji in very close quarters, but someone who even now lives by the principles that this father of the nation stood for. Last Thursday in Outside Inside, Deep Inside, I played for you his story in his words, his childhood, his passion for work, his curious entry into the freedom struggle, his imprisonment, his pretty interesting meeting with Gandhiji, and also his incredible routine wherein he spent 6 to 7 hours a day gardening and 2 to 3 hours cleaning his home, and not only his home, cleaning the entire staircase of the building. All this at the age of 91. Well, there is much more to this charismatic person, and that is what we will explore in the next 30 minutes or so tonight in Outside Inside Deep Inside. So let me begin by playing for you what he has seen of his inspiration of Gandhiji. The routine that Gandhiji followed, that he, Mr. Kalyanam, was a witness to.
After coming here, I came to know about his daily routine. He used to get up in the morning at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. We used to get up only at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, young people. Then he used no tea, no beverages, only honey with hot water and lime. And no food like as we eat here at home. Only boiled vegetables and some dal, and that's all. Very simple food. No toilet, trench latrines. I liked all that. I helped in the kitchen. After eating food, everybody should take one vessel and clean it. Everybody had to do it. So I liked all this. I had learnt all this, and that is why I continue till this day, because of that habit. Gandhi, after his morning prayer, he would dictate letters to me. I told you I never understood what he... I typed wrongly. Many mistakes I did. But he would never get angry, because anger means violence. He won't even stare at me. He won't gnash his teeth like this, and he won't have any ill feeling against me even in his heart. That amounts to violence. So he would keep quiet. He said, no, do it like this, do it like this. That's all.
So even if you made mistakes repeatedly,
he would correct it. That's all. I have to understand from that I am wrong. He won't speak to me. Then On Mondays, he observed silence from morning 6 to evening 6. On Mondays, I had no dictation because he couldn't speak.
Yes.
Till the end, I typed all his letters. Many times I made mistakes, but he would never get angry. And after his morning tea, that is beverage, that is honey in hot water with lemon. The glass will not be ordinary metal glass. It will be a marble glass, white marble glass. He would handle it with a napkin. It was so hot. He would have a napkin and then go on sipping and dictate letters to me. After that, he would have his morning walk every day regularly. If it is raining, he would walk inside the hut. If it is not raining, he would go around and round the hut. After that, he would have his...
How long?
Half an hour. At that time, interviews were conducted. People who wanted to interview him, they used to come there to talk to them and walk. After that, he would have his massage in mustard oil, always. Somebody would give him a massage. At that time, he would have a good nap, siesta, because you feel like sleeping when somebody massages. After that, he would have a bath in very hot water, always in hot water, never in cold water, even in summer, very hot water. Then have his morning meal, very simple meal, khagra, that is wheat roti, only one, goat's milk, and boiled vegetables. Not fancy vegetables like potatoes or cauliflower, nothing of that kind. Only such vegetables which you cut, water comes. Melon, you know, vegetables like that. So they boil it without salt, you take it, and...
Without salt.
And then there is a story as to why he did not take salt. Not because of the salt tax, but there is a different story altogether.
So that was Gandhiji's routine in the morning, early morning and morning till his shower and till his basic breakfast. And then Gandhiji would do spinning. In fact, Gandhiji's charkha, the spinning wheel, was there in the initial design of our national flag, where we see the wheel today, the wheel of Dharma in the Indian national flag. Earlier you had the charkha, the spinning wheel of Gandhiji. So Gandhiji was someone who propagated this concept of self-reliance, and he did it. Everything that he preached, he practiced. So he was the one who would do himself, do the spinning, and he would weave the cloth. So after his morning routine, he always spent some time spinning. So let's continue that story about Gandhiji's routine from Mr. Kalyanam, about what used to happen after Gandhiji finished his spinning.
He would be meeting visitors if there were any. Otherwise he went on writing either articles or replies to letters. He would never keep quiet. He would never sit idle. He would always be writing something. If there nobody to speak to, you'd be writing. Either in Gujarati, or in Hindi, or in English. These are only three languages in which he wrote.
Constantly you'd be?
Constantly writing. He would never keep quiet.
And he did not need anyone's help for that? You were not needed?
No. He would just pick up a paper, the loose sheets of paper I told you how we keep, used to keep it.
Or the envelope cover.
Yes. He would start writing on them. And if he had... On silence days, if he had to talk to me, he had to convey anything to me, he would send me a note. I've got those notes with me.
You preserve them?
I preserve them. And he would say, send this letter to so-and-so, so-and-so. All that instructions he would be giving me.
Wonderful. So this will go on till the...
Evening. Evening, there was a public prayer, at which public came. Morning prayer was only for ashram people in his room.
Okay. The morning prayer happened...
In his room.
That happened early in the morning?
Early in the morning, at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. See, all the ashram inmates
were up, all were supposed to come. If they didn't
come, he wouldn't like it. He won't get angry, but he would advise them, if you don't like, better stay somewhere else.
Very gently he would tell
very
them
gently,
that.
Well, if you are, we must have... Yeah. Prayer is the key of the morning and bolt of the evening.
Yes.
So morning and evening you must pray. If you think you cannot do it, you better stay outside and manage somewhere.
You always attended all the prayers?
Well, sometimes one or two of us would be late, then they would question us. We are supposed to go on time.
Yes. He expected that from you?
Yes. and evening prayer, since the British had agreed to grant independence to India at that time. Gandhi was meeting several British leaders, Petty Clarence, Cripps Mission, all that come. So people were expecting him to tell them something about how far he has succeeded in getting independence for India. So he would tell them of the talks that he had with them, at what stage it is. And he would retire, and evening meal he had just before prayer, evening prayer. Same kind of
5 o'clock,
and same kind of meal which he had in the morning. In between, he would have a glass of juice, because oranges were in plenty in Varda. Nagpur oranges were famous, so he would have some orange juice. And evening, after the meal, he would have this meeting, the prayer, and then after the prayer, he would have a walk. Evening walk. Morning walk was both in the morning and evening.
So
always.
Walk and prayer were
compulsory. Yes. And after that he would go to bed at about 9 o'clock. And that was the time people used to gossip with him, tell him something new, fresh, or they have heard from anybody. So the girls would be talking to him about who came to the ashram, what happened and all that.
Yes, so the day had two principal elements. One was this prayer and the walk. And the second was his constant engagement in some work or the other.
Yes, never idle. And he never read any books, never consulted the dictionary. But his language, his English language, was perfect. He was a master of the English language, and he knew Spanish in it. And he had learnt all that when he was in London at the age of 20.
Yes.
So he knew a little bit of Spanish. And he would always be writing. I mean, there is no time I have ever seen him sit idle. Sometimes he would have a nap in the afternoon, siesta. That is what we call siesta.
Yes.
10-15 minutes, that's all.
Oh, 10-15 minutes.
That's all. That 10-15 minutes siesta was equal to about 2 hours of sleep. Always you will feel very fresh, just as now I have slept.
Yes.
I am feeling very fresh, I don't need anything.
Yes.
Siesta is always very good.
Yes.
Siesta is always very short. Siesta is 15 minutes siesta is equal to about 3 or 4 hours sleep.
So after that I asked Mr. Kalyanam about his work with Gandhiji. In fact, Mr. Kalyanam not only served him as his secretary from 1994 to 1944 to 1948, but also had the opportunity to travel widely with Gandhiji in those critical years. Though Gandhiji was nearing 80 years, Kalyanam then was very young. He was probably in his late 20s or early 30s, and working with such a man of principles and unique personality, unique characteristics, it was rewarding for him but also challenging at times.
And how are you helping him in the Sevagram Ashram?
In taking down letters and all that, whatever work he allotted to me.
Yes.
Then we used to go on tour.
Yes.
Always tickets were purchased. Though he travelled third class, he would purchase tickets for all of us, third class ticket. We would travel ticketless, and somebody would purchase the ticket from the ashram manager. Supposing we are on tour, supposing he comes to Madras and he is staying with you, you would purchase the tickets for him, for his entire, all the people. That's how it was arranged always. The host always purchased the tickets. And once or twice, his secretaries were always never with him. They had other work to do. They always never traveled with him, always. You know, sometimes he traveled only with the granddaughters and myself. I was always wanted because he had to dictate letters.
Yes.
But not so the secretaries. So when I traveled with him once without the secretaries, I didn't buy the ticket. I didn't know who bought the ticket. I was new to the place. So the train had already traveled nearly 100 kilometers, 100 miles. We were going to Calcutta. Some 100 miles away, he somehow called me, he said, "Have you bought the tickets?" I said, "No sir, I didn't know who buys the ticket, I am only joined now." No, no, then ask the station master to come and see me in the next station when the train stops, junction. In those days, whenever Gandhi traveled, his travels were notified in the papers. The newspapers would carry that news that he is going from Delhi to Calcutta, and where the trains would stop, that would also be mentioned. So since people knew where the train would stop, there would be huge crowds to have Gandhi's darshan. The platform would be full of people. Gandhi would be sitting in one corner near the window with his hand bowing to them, you know, wishing them, that's all. But some people would say, we would like to see you. He had not bought the tickets. And when the train stopped at a particular junction, there was a huge crowd. And generally, whenever the train stopped at any junction, the station superintendent or the station master would also be among the crowd, sit standing there, because they couldn't come and meet him. Only people who were connected with Gandhi's ashram or who were associates could come and meet him. But others could only wish him. So he was one of those, like the crowd, people in the crowd. So he could only wish him from there. So at one junction, when we had not bought the ticket, Gandhi wanted the station master to be brought before him to tell him that we have not bought the ticket and that he should collect the money from them, from us, and give us the ticket. So I went into the crowd and asked the station master to come and see Gandhi. He was surprised. He never expected that Gandhi would like to see him. He was always in the crowd, like any other man. But if Gandhi wanted to see him, he must be a very special man. So he came and he bowed before Gandhi, and Gandhi told him, this boy, naming me Kalyanam, has joined me recently. He's a new boy, joined the ashram. He has not bought the ticket for our journey. So you please collect the money from him and issue the ticket, right? So to that, the station master replied, sir, you are such a great man, greatest man of the century. You can always travel free and all that sort of thing. Gandhi said, is this the way you allow all great men to travel free?
Oh.
If you do like this, I'll complain to the railway department and you lose your job that you are permitting VIPs to travel without paying for the ticket. So he apologized and gave the...
Was he an Indian or a...
Indian. So Gandhi said, we can't travel free. And if I am a VIP, there are so many other VIPs, don't you charge them? So sir, you are a special case. No question of special, everybody should buy a ticket. We can't travel ticketless. So he insisted, Gandhi said, I'll report to the railway board in Delhi and you lose your job. Then he relented and collected the money from me. Another incident, Gandhi, I told you, always observed silence on Mondays from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yes.
On a particular Monday, we were traveling by train and Gandhi wanted to send a short letter to Lord Wavell, the Viceroy,
yes,
who was then in Simla. We were proceeding towards Calcutta.
Okay.
A very short letter. So he wrote, since he was observing silence, he could not dictate it to me. He wrote it out on a piece of paper and he called me by his hand because he can't talk.
Yes.
I was sitting in one corner of the compartment. He was here. I went to him. He gave me that slip. When he gives me a slip, what does it mean? I must type.
Yes.
I am supposed to be a typist. I took the slip, read it, it was addressed to the Viceroy. That means I have to type a letter to the Viceroy. I came and sat down on my seat. Gandhi was observing silence till 6 p.m. That letter, after typing, was to be delivered to somebody in Patna.
Okay.
And that person will send it to Simla. That was the arrangement. I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, you did not know?
I don't know. He only gave it to me typing. That letter was meant to be sent to the Viceroy through that person in Patna. So at 6 p.m., he broke his silence. And he called me by name, Kalyanam. Where is that letter? I said, sir, I don't have a typewriter. Because I had newly joined, you know, I didn't know that I had to carry all this. Sir, I have no typewriter. immediately shot back. When I sent for a barber, I expect him to bring his tools.
Oh my God.
So meaning that when I am a stenographer, I must always carry a typewriter. But I joined him new. I thought somebody in Gandhi's secretariat will bring the typewriter and all that. So when he told me like this, I was a little annoyed. I felt insulted. I said, oh yeah, I am a barber, I should carry my tools and all that. Then I thought I better leave him and go and join the ashram. But I was...
Stop traveling with him, go back to the ashram.
I didn't want to work with him. But somebody in the camp told me, well, that is the way he tells people, but he doesn't mean any ill will. He doesn't scold you. He only told you that as a, like a barber, he carries his tools, you must also carry a typewriter. That's all. So I continued to stay with him.
So those are just two or three instances that Mr. Kalyanam experienced with Gandhiji, and there are many more. In fact, talking about the travels of Gandhiji in those years, especially the years surrounding India's independence from 1944 to 1948, well, those years were really critical times because those were hard times for the country. The nation was bleeding with atrocities of communal disharmony. The Governor General of India, Lord Wavell, invited Pandit Nehru to form an interim government in August 1946, but the Muslims were not happy with the representation of their community that got in the cabinet, and they called for a direct action day led by Mr. Jinnah, and there was gruesome scenes of violence in many parts of the country. Violence spread, started in Calcutta and spread. 5,000 people lost their lives in Calcutta, and India actually almost descended into a civil war, and this continued till 1947 and even after that. In fact, historians Ian Tabolt and Gurharpal Singh, talking about the violence that accompanied the partition of India, they have written saying, while previous communal riots had been deadly, the scale and level of brutality was unprecedented during this time. Although some scholars question the use of the term genocide with respect to the partition massacres, much of the violence manifested as having genocidal tendencies. It was designed to cleanse an existing generation as well as prevent its future reproduction. Well, those are the kind of words with which they have described the dark times that surrounded the Indian independence struggle, the culmination of India's independence struggle. But it was at this time that Gandhiji struggled. Yes, he used all his physical, mental and spiritual mettle, his spiritual energy, his Atma Balam, to mitigate this violence and restore harmony and peace. He was not, he was least interested in the celebration of the country's independence. He travelled from village to village in Calcutta after the direct action day call, and violence which started in Calcutta, it spread to so many other regions. It went to Noakhali in Bihar, it went to modern Uttar Pradesh, at that time called United Province, it went to Punjab, it went to the northwestern frontier province at that time. So, and during all these travels of Gandhiji, Mr. Kalyanam was there with him, and I asked him to recall those moments, how it was for the Mahatma to tour village to village. And mind you, the Mahatma at this time was beyond 75.
At that time, he fasted unto death to bring about peace. What was going on in your mind? Gandhiji was now almost in his late 70s and still he was undertaking a fast.
Well, he had the willpower and he had no fear of death. He knew the masses were behind him, the country was behind him, so they would support him, and then he would break his fast. That's what has happened.
And he succeeded.
He
was convinced about...
Though his kidneys were affected, liver was affected, and sometimes doctors also gave a warning that he may die any moment. Still he continued. But somehow God saved him.
And at that time he went from village to village.
Yes.
trying to convince people and bring about communal harmony. And you traveled with him?
Yes, throughout.
How was it, you know, when he was going from village to village, how was people's reception to his message at that time when there was so much of...
In Noakhali, most of them were Muslims. They're in East Bengal. When he first went there, nobody knew him. Nobody had heard of Mahatma Gandhi. The Muslim ladies had not heard of Mahatma Gandhi. They thought somebody is coming, someone looking like a beggar. So they never attended the meetings. We hardly had two or three people at the meeting. And that's my point. Gradually, the people, Muslims, were told that he's a man who wants to work for peace, who wants unity between all religions. That made some people boldly to come forward and listen to his speeches. Otherwise nobody was willing, though nobody recognized him. Nobody thought he was going to get freedom for India. You understand my point? So all this happened because people were convinced that he's a man of peace and he's not going to harm anybody, and any caste or creed, man of creed, they should all live together. The entire humanity should live together in peace and harmony. That was the message he carried, and it worked.
So it was a lot of struggle.
Yes, independence movement. What is the use of having independence when you are fighting with each other and killing each other? Independence means you must work together, live together happily and all that. But that is not there. So that is why he didn't want to come to Delhi for the Independence Day, 15th August 47. He said, my duty is to bring about peace between Hindus and Muslims in Calcutta. And he did. He succeeded.
And then he moved to Delhi, and there also he succeeded.
And there was and at that time, he received a number of invitations from Pakistan asking him to visit Pakistan.
Oh, is it?
Yes. And immediately after partition, on the 29th of August, I think, the first telegram came from Pakistan asking him to visit Pakistan, but he would have liked to go sometime in February, but he died in January. Otherwise he would have gone to Pakistan.
So that is what Kalyanam recollects about Gandhiji's fast and his struggles to bring about peace. And after that, Mr. Kalyanam recalled the last moments of Gandhiji, how there were attacks during his prayer meeting, Gandhiji's prayer meeting in Birla House, where he was staying then and recuperating after his fast and travels. In fact, after that, as he mentioned, he was invited to go to Pakistan, and he would have definitely gone, made that trip, as Kalyanam says, if only a misguided youth had not taken advantage of the Mahatma's goodness and shocked the nation with his ghastly act. Mr. Kalyanam was there when the bullets were fired into Gandhiji's chest. He was there when Gandhiji chanted, "Hey Ram, Hey Ram, Hey Ram," and collapsed. In fact, the Indian government at many times had offered security to Gandhiji, but always the Mahatma refused. His life, he said, was in God's hands, and he died taking the Lord's name on his lips. And having lived with such a great man, I asked Mr. Kalyanam how he reflected on Gandhiji's life and what were his takeaways from the time he spent with the Mahatma.
Sir, you had the chance to work with someone in the final tribute that was paid to Gandhiji, Edward Murrow, who is a CBS broadcaster. He made this famous statement. He said, "The object of this mass tribute died as he lived. A private man without wealth, without property,
without anything,
without title or without office. He was not a commander of great armies, or he was not a ruler of vast lands. He could boast no scientific achievement or no great artistic gift. But when he finally passed away, you had men, governments, dignitaries from all over the world who joined hands and who paid homage to, as I said, the little brown man in a land plot. So you had the chance to work with him for 4 years, four very important years, and one fine day he just disappeared from your life. So I want to ask you two questions. What were those aspects of Gandhiji's life that deeply touched you? That is first. And secondly, after they having touched you, what impact they made in your life?
The most important thing is, it was born in a family where there was no question of wanting anything. You know, he was born of parents who were very well-to-do. And still, he reduced himself to zero. He led a very, very simple life.
His father was a Diwan.
Diwan. In those days, he was also called a Prime Minister of Kathiawar. He could have lived a lavish life. But he sacrificed everything for the sake of bringing about peace in the world. You know, he saw the Great World War in those days, how many people, countries were fighting with each other. All this he didn't like. From the beginning, in his early childhood, he was religious minded. And religion always practices you to be calm and quiet, not be at war with anybody, be friendly with anybody, with everyone. That is the message religion gives you, every religion, whether it is Hindu or Muslim or whatever faith you have. And he followed that advice. When he went to London, he wanted to pursue medicine. But people dissuaded him from studying medicine because in those days it was thought, when you study medicine, you have to cut frogs and all that to make experiments. So they said no. And so he took up law. And when he studied law, he could have easily become a lawyer. Probably he would have retired as a chief justice had he continued in law. But no, he was moved by the ill treatment of Indians in South Africa.
Yes.
And culminating in his personal humiliation when he was thrown out of the compartment, all that made him change the course of his life. And when he came to India, he saw people starving, millions, without food, without a shelter over their head, without medical facilities, without educational facilities, all this. He took them to heart. And as a result of which, he wanted to devote his full life to change the face of India.
We bring out a total moral...
total revolution where nobody will be above war. There will be no tear from any eye. He wanted to wipe every tear from every eye. Nobody will be without any basic necessities of life. For that, he identified himself with the masses. He lived like them. He didn't enjoy anything that was denied to the people. People who lead a good life, they take ice cream, chocolate and all that. He never took anything of that kind. Because poor people don't get it. I will take only what poor people can get. So whatever poor people had, he enjoyed. And poor people had what? Ordinary food, simple food. That is the same food he was taking. Same clothes, like poor people, only a loincloth, not even an upper garment, not even a shirt. That's how he lived. And he set an example. Many people joined him in the struggle. But they lead a life that he showed as an example. That example was forgotten immediately after independence.
And after this, Mr. Kalyanam went on to actually express with a lot of sorrow and sadness how the example of Gandhiji in today's times is forgotten. How politics many times is without principles and how commerce is without scruples. How medicine has lost its human touch and how business has stopped being a service and so on. As someone who has lived with Gandhiji, everything that he sees contrary to Gandhian principles always bothers this devoted follower of Gandhiji. But all this has never deterred him from following the footsteps of Gandhiji. Mr. Kalyanam, whether anyone else lives up to the principles of Gandhiji or not, he never moved even an inch from that path. He never forgot the great lessons of life he learned from the Mahatma. those scenes of living with him were always alive in his mind, and they inspired him and they continue to inspire him to lead a life that Gandhiji would be proud of. The inspiration never died down. Even after 60 years of Gandhiji's passing, that zeal to lead a life of simple living and high thinking never, ever dwindled from the heart of Mr. Kalyanam. And I saw this personally. I saw his daily routine. It is absolutely unbelievable. I have mentioned to you in this program before about Mr. Kalyanam's routine, but let's hear it now directly from him.
So coming back to your life, so what did you do after 1948?
After 1948, I was posted as commissioner for Scheduled Castes and Scheduled Tribes Regional. I was in charge of Madras, Kerala, Mysore, and Andaman Islands. I was supposed to tour, and central government used to give funds for the welfare of Scheduled Castes and Scheduled Tribes, build houses for them, help them in the agricultural work or cottage industry. So I used to give them money. Government used to send the money. I used to see that the money is properly spent. That was my job. But I left that job after 5 years. I had no interest in the secretarial work. You can't do anything.
But that was the work where you were helping the scheduled
caste. Yeah, what is the use? What is the use? I am doing the work of only seeing that it is not misused. I have to do some manual work. I had to only complain, then they are not using the properly, that's all. I had to only write like that. What is the use?
So what did you do next?
And then I left the job, then I went about seeking some private employment. Whatever I earned, I gave away. My photographs of my wife is there. I gave 25 lakhs to this medical research foundation. I don't have any money. I lead a very simple life. I don't have any money even for the evening tomorrow. Mr. Kumar helped me, the man who came in the morning, he helped me. I don't ask him for money. Bare minimum, I have got enough. That's all. I lead a simple life, frugal life, economical life. I sell small newspapers and all that, get some money. I am satisfied with that.
So what is your schedule like here?
I get up, I work in the morning, I keep myself engaged all day.
When do you get up in the morning?
I got up this morning at about 3 o'clock. That's why in between I have the nap. Yes. Few minutes nap is enough. I slept only twice, once now and once earlier.
I mean, that is only just 10 minutes.
That is enough. Now I am quite all right. Now my next sleep will be at about 10 o'clock for about 15 minutes. Then again in the morning at about 3 o'clock.
Well,
that is enough. 15 minutes. Enough, that is enough, more than enough for me.
So you get up at 4 o'clock?
No, 3 o'clock. 2 o'clock I have my coffee.
2 o'clock. And?
I have to clean up this place, wipe out this place.
You personally clean it?
I do it, yes. I do it early morning at 2 o'clock. Before going out, I must see that everything is in its proper place. This should be in my place there. All the sofa set should be there in every place. Then I go out.
So you clean the entire...
Entire thing, everything you have now shifted, you know?
Yes.
All will come back to the original place. Then only I will go out, not otherwise. I won't...
No servant meet.
No.
You
leave
alone.
No.
You don't think you need a servant maid, you're 91 years now.
I can't manage with them. I'll have to keep on telling them. I'll ask her to do something. She may drop something, it'll break. They're not as careful as I would like them to be.
So you do your own
thing? Everything I clean.
So it takes you half an hour, 1 hour to do all?
Maybe about 1 hour every day.
So after that, what do you do?
There's plenty of work, cooking, washing vessels. People come and talk to me every day, at least I have a dozen visitors. Today you saw my sister and daughter, before that another man came. Like that, so many people come every day. Nearly half a dozen people. Then evenings I have meetings to address or meetings to attend other people's lectures. That's how I spend my time. By 8 o'clock, from 8 to 11 I see the TV.
No.
I see all the speeches. I must see that. I don't want to be disturbed between 8 and 11. After 11, I do my work. If I want to sleep, I sleep at 2 o'clock. That's all. I keep myself
busy. And from morning 4 o'clock till lunchtime, what do you do?
I told you I am in the garden.
Yes, your garden.
Yes, that keeps me busy.
You clean up the...
Yes, yes. Even before your gentleman came, I had finished the gardening work. He came at 7. I finished at 6:30. So there's no problem.
Till 12 you are gardening.
Huh?
Till 12 you are doing gardening.
Yes.
And then you cook?
I cook only when I come after finishing my garden work at about 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. Today I cooked at about 2 o'clock. We had our food at 2:45.
Yes. And it was a very simple but very...
More than enough. I am not starving. That's all. That's the most important thing.
And it's so wonderful you told me that you eat only the vegetables that you grow.
Yes. Today, if I had not gone up for gardening in the early morning because you were coming at 7, I would have gone and brought some palak from there. But today I didn't have the time for it. So it all depends on that, you know.
Now how do you manage whatever little expenses that is needed for your life to sustain you?
I get about 1,000 rupees. My wife's pension is about 10,000 rupees. I take only 1,000 from there. The rest I donate.
You donate?
Yes, donate. So many people come. So the other day somebody came, he wanted a sewing machine. I bought him a sewing machine, 3,000 rupees. Take it, let them earn their livelihood.
And the most interesting thing I see is on your door, one of the ways you have introduced yourself is you are a sweeper par excellence.
Yes, nobody can beat me in that. You give me the city, I'll make it as clean, you can't find a matchstick on the road.
But don't you feel that, you're calling yourself a sweeper?
So what? It's a good job. Gandhi was a sweeper. Gandhi started his life by sweeping. He wanted Kasturba to do this, that work. She refused and then she admitted that he was right. And she started cleaning the lavatory. It's a good job.
So isn't that amazing? Quite unbelievable, right? The way this person views life, the way this person looks at every facet of his work, to call himself sweeper par excellence. I was actually stunned when I went to his home and on the door it says personal secretary of Gandhiji, Mr. V. Kalyanam, and below that in bold and big letters, sweeper par excellence. And he has no qualms about it. He's so proud about it. And this is only a very small part of what he is. One has to really live with him for a couple of days to know what makes him so special. I spent only one day with him and I was, at every moment was a revelation. Every moment was an essay in simplicity. Every moment was a novel in cleanliness is godliness. And every moment I could see that all the power behind all that activity was coming from a source that was not human. There was also something else to his personality which he didn't reveal it so obviously, but as we went on talking, that came about. Listen to this.
And there are a few other things that I have seen in your life which again, we are so close to Gandhiji. One is the concept of not wasting anything. You also are so fastidious about it.
Yes. I crop my own hair. I have not been to a barber for the last 70 years. Today I wanted to cut this, I forgot. It's a little longer than this. Little longer. I can cut it. I have never been to a barber or a hair cutting salon all my life. Up to the age of 14 I was, but not after that. When I cut the hair, it goes to the garden, it becomes manure. I don't waste anything. My vegetables I cut, it goes for manure. I don't throw out anything. Cellophane paper waste I sell by kilo. Cardboard, notebooks, waste paper, everything I sell.
And I saw you are not only collecting whatever waste comes out of your flat, but of the entire building.
Yes. First thing I do in the morning is to go up and who has kept outside what. They keep it outside, their flat, to be taken away by the servant. They have got servants. Before the servant takes it, I take it and use it for myself.
You sell it?
They don't know. The servant will only throw it into the dustbin. What do they know of all this? They want only money. They don't understand that all this will create money.
So people know it will create money, but no one wants to take the trouble of
Collecting it.
Collecting it.
For earning is 30 rupees or 40 rupees.
They think it is too small amount. They want in hundreds. I don't want in hundreds. I want a little amount. That will be enough for me.
More important is not to
yes.
lose anything, as Gandhiji said. And Gandhiji also believed so much in prayer and walking. Do you also subscribe to that?
I pray every minute. I pray every minute. Shloka Hanumar. I do it every day. Any number of times. I am now praying, you knock the door, I may stop and open the door.
Constantly there is a...
Constantly, whole day I am doing it. Whole night and whole day, as long as I am awake, I keep on saying that. And I write my prayer every day. Sri Ramadeva, Allahu Akbar, and Jesus never fails. Three religions, most important religions.
So you write these three lines...
These lines are here. Every day in the morning at 3 o'clock it is ready.
So every day in the morning...
And I don't buy a notebook for that. Why buy a notebook? There are so many diaries coming to me.
You go on writing Sri Rama Jayam, Allahu Akbar, Jesus never fails.
Yes, now, when was this diary? 2009. When did I start? September 2009 I started it. Every day, day and date. Every day. Now it is 2013.
Yes.
Tomorrow is 10-4.
Every day. You never missed one day.
Tomorrow is Wednesday. Today is Tuesday. 2009 to 2013. For 4 years, they has served me. I got several diaries. So why should I waste it? So many people give me diaries. I use it for this purpose.
So that is what I was telling you. Powering Mr. Kalyanam. The incessant, silent, continuous undercurrent of spiritual energy. He's all the time praying. If he's talking to someone, it is only for that period that he's consciously not praying, but always the name of the Lord is in his being. And just like the name of Sri Rama powered Gandhiji, gave him all the strength, removed all his fears, filled him with that confidence to take on anyone. It's the same with Mr. Kalyanam, following the footsteps of the Mahatma. And it only goes to show what we can achieve when we depend on the power of the one within us. Is much, much beyond than what we think we can achieve ourselves. They say, what lies in front of us and what lies around us, behind us, are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. And this is where the source of a colossal stream of energy resides. It's for us to tap this source and make our lives beautiful, transformational, and a life that is of use to others. In fact, in the next episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside, we'll continue the story of Mr. Kalyanam, because there is still much more to it, but from a different angle. I will share with you what impact the life of Kalyanam has had on so many people. You heard what impact Gandhiji had on Kalyanam. In the next episode, you will listen to a youngster speaking how he has changed his life just by observing Mr. Kalyanam. You will hear a 10-year boy speaking what sort of changes he has brought in life after listening to and he's seeing Mr. Kalyanam. You will listen to a young man who took up on the job of writing and documenting the life of Mr. Kalyanam and becoming author of a book based on his life and what was his inspiration and what changes that he has been able to bring about in his life and in the life of so many. You will also listen to someone who has read this book and what are her comments. So all this is coming up in the next episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So stay tuned. Same time, same day, next week, Till then, as we depart, and as we part, as it is time to draw the curtains on this Thursday Life segment, I want to leave you with one thought. You heard about the life of Mr. Kalyanam in his own words. How inspired is he just because he had the chance to see and live with Gandhiji. And we have the opportunity and still continue to have the opportunity to listen and see. Yes, we can see if we wish to. The one who inspired, not Kalyanam, but who inspired Gandhiji. All we have to do is to look within. The same Sai Rama is with us, in us, around us. As Bhagwan always said. Therefore, how much more inspired should we be? How much more motivated should we be to emulate and walk on the footsteps shown by the Lord? It is not enough to love Swami. We have to make Swami proud. They say the best way to love a master is to love his teachings. The best way to value a master is to master his values. So that is something for us to ruminate on. So thank you so much for being with me and being with all my colleagues, my team members, and listening to this Thursday live broadcast coming to you from the studios. If you have any comments or suggestions, please feel free to write to us. As always, we welcome your feedback. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. As a sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama by the Balvikas children from Canada. It was staged in Prashantinilayam on 21st November 2003. It is entitled Family. So that's what you'll continue to listen. Thank you so much for being with us. And finally, a loving Sai Ram from all of us at Radio Sai. We offer this entire day's programs at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.